Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. It's a new year, so get ready for some resolutions and some inspiration. To start the year off right, I will bring you some visionary resolutions that will include suggestions for things to do and also for things not to do. You will also meet someone new who will certainly inspire you, a psychologist named Robert Carter. The first article is from iHealth of Somerset, Kentucky. This community is located just south of Lexington, Kentucky. Their website is www.ihealthofsomerset.com. Their headline reads, Seven Visionary New Year's Resolutions. It was dated, I will admit, January of 2018. That's just a couple of years old, but it still has some good advice for everyone for this new year of 2020 that's coming up. Happy New Year. As we ring in a fresh new year, it's human nature to consider ways to improve our life experience. These can range from the simple, like drink more water, to the complex, like raise funds for a certain pet project you have, or to the philosophical, like bark less, wag more. Better health is often on the agenda, and eyesight is a critical component of that. As eye care professionals, we offer seven simple, effective ways to ensure your eye health in the new year. Number one is know your family's eye health history. Knowledge is power. Many eye diseases and conditions, including age-related macular degeneration, glaucoma, and diabetic retinopathy, do have a genetic component, and they tend to run in families. Familiarize yourself with your family's eye health history and share it with your eye doctor so you can catch any potential signs of disease early when the treatments are most effective. The second New Year's resolution, follow proper contact lens protocol. Remember the first time you tried contact lenses? It felt like a miracle to see so well, didn't it? Contacts are certainly a convenient vision correction solution, but if you don't take care of them, they can cause serious problems. Follow your eye doctor's instruction for proper care and wearing of your specific lenses. Don't skimp on cleaning or storing the lenses, and don't wear them for longer than recommended. Failing to follow directions puts you at risk for infections, abrasions, and even permanent vision loss. Resolve to become contact lens compliant in 2020. Number three, eat healthfully for healthy vision. Here is a resolution that might dovetail with other healthy habits. Eating right can help keep you seeing right. Getting the proper balance of nutrients, namely vitamin A, C, and D, omega-3 fatty acids, bioflavonoids, and antioxidants plays an important part in healthy vision. Studies show that a healthy diet can reduce the risk for age-related vision problems, including macular degeneration, cataracts, and glaucoma. Aim to incorporate more of these following items in your diet in 2020. There are four of them coming for you for 2020. Red or orange peppers, sweet potatoes, carrots, broccoli, spinach, kale, and other, you guessed it, other green leafy vegetables. From these, you get beta-carotene and vitamin C. The second point, they say you should include more tea, citrus fruits, cherries, berries, and legumes, which will give you bioflavonoids. They also suggest you add tuna, mackerel, salmon, anchovies, and walnuts to your diet to give you omega-3 fatty acids. And then you should also think about adding liver, beef, oysters, and fortified dairy products, which would provide vitamins A, D, and zinc. Now, the fourth of visionary New Year's resolution is utilize safety eyewear. Each day, emergency rooms across our country see about 2,000 eye injuries, according to Prevent Blindness America. That adds up to over 700,000 per year. There are also around 125,000 eye injuries that happen in and around the home, plus 25,000 sports-related eye injuries each year, nearly half of which are to children under the age of 14. Now, while 10 to 20% of all these injuries will cause temporary or permanent vision loss, a full 90% of them could be prevented by wearing the proper eye protection. You can keep your vision and that of your family and kids safe by wearing the right eye protection at work, at home, and while playing sports. Share with your eye care professionals about your lifestyle, and they will be able to recommend the ideal protection for all your needs. The fifth resolution, wear sunglasses 365 days per year. Just because it's wintertime doesn't mean the sun's UV rays cannot harm your eyes. In fact, glare from the sun can be particularly harsh in the winter. And those UV rays reflecting off surfaces, including the snow, pavement, metal, and water, can damage your eyes year-round. UV exposure is associated with an increased risk of cataracts and age-related macular degeneration. Proper sunglasses will block at least 99% of both UVA and UVB rays. Optical Associates can help you select a great pair of sunglasses that will protect your eyes as they project your style. Find a pair you love and wear them every day to protect your eyesight. Number six resolution, and this is very appropriate because we're coming into the year 2020, and they're saying you should follow the 20-20-20 rule. With screen time on tablets, phones, laptops, and desktops at a record high, many of us are hunching our shoulders and straining our eyes to catch up on the latest news and posts. This increased screen time can lead to what they are now calling computer eye syndrome. This is characterized by tired eyes, blurry vision, difficulty focusing, dry eyes, headaches, and shoulder and neck pain. So to relieve the effects of computer eye syndrome, follow the 20-20-20 rule. And that is, every 20 minutes, give your eyes a break by looking at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds. So a quick repeat, every 20 minutes, look at something 20 feet away for 20 seconds. This is a quick and easy way to relieve some of the eye strain that screen time puts on your eyes. The seventh suggested resolution for the new year, schedule a comprehensive eye exam. Protect your precious gift of sight and do the same for each member of your family. By scheduling a comprehensive eye exam, you can determine whether your vision is at its best. You can update prescription eyewear or contact lenses, determine the best safety glasses for your lifestyle, and you can be screened for many potential eye issues or diseases that could dramatically impact your vision. See to it that you get the best possible treatment to preserve your eyesight in this new year and always. So, Happy New Year and welcome to 2020. Next, we have an article from the AFB, the American Foundation for the Blind. I thought you'd like to meet somebody new for the new year. This is from their magazine called Access World, and they give you, in this publication, objective information you can trust, smart and informed commentary, and cutting-edge news and trends concerning information technology and visual impairment. They're published monthly in Access World, Technology and People Who Are Blind or Visually Impaired. I will bring you the article from their recent newsletter. It's called Employment Matters, Robert Carter, psychologist, Texas A&M University. The article was written by Deborah Kendrick. When Robert Carter and his twin sister were born, both were dangerously small and were placed in infant incubators equipped with a flow of oxygen. Robert's sister lived only a few days. Robert remained in the hospital for a few months until he was finally pronounced sufficiently healthy to travel home in his mother's arms. It would be a little while longer before his family realized that all the oxygen administered to help him thrive had also taken away all of his eyesight. A quote, "I come from a family of doers, not beers," said Dr. Robert Carter today of his action-oriented parents, his father, a construction worker, and his mother, a homemaker who raised Robert and his younger sister, believed in the capacity of all people to participate in life, including the son who had this blindness thing about which they were learning. So when it came time for kindergarten, Robert and his mother traveled from their small town of Concord, North Carolina, to the state capital in Raleigh, where they visited a residential school for blind children. Here's a quote. "My mother didn't like it very much," Robert says, "and I didn't like it at all." So it turned out that a resource program was being launched 30 miles away from their hometown in Concord, in the town of Charlotte. So the family moved in order to enroll Robert in that program. Each day he spent an hour or so with a teacher who taught him Braille and touch typing. The rest of his time he spent with sighted classmates. So committed was his mother to her son's education that it was almost as though he had a second school day after school when he arrived home. Each day she went over lessons with him, making sure that he was always on the same literal and figurative page as his classmates. His mother modeled advocacy for him at an early age, dedicating herself each spring and summer to ensuring that his books would be transcribed into Braille for the next term in the fall. He recalls overhearing a phone call when he was very young, during which his mother was discussing the readiness of a book. She warned someone at the other end by saying, "If this isn't done by Friday, I am calling the governor." And we're talking about model advocacy. I think that's a good example of it. The article continues, when not studying, he was enjoying the same outdoor pleasures as his younger sister, namely riding bikes, roller skating, sometimes water skiing. He was, in other words, learning to do and not just be. At the age of 12, he began playing the guitar, aspiring to follow in the musical footsteps of heroes like Kris Kristofferson, John Prine, and Hank Williams. Academics still claimed his greatest attention, though, and before long, he was graduating with a BA in English from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill and making plans for graduate school. While Carter was obtaining a master's degree in counseling at Western Carolina University, he began working with a group called Upward Bound. This is a program that provides services to minorities. In that particular region, the population served by the program was primarily from the nearby Cherokee Reservation. It was during that time that he discovered that his calling was to help people with mental health difficulties, and he wanted to be at the top of his credentialed game to continue. So he headed for the University of Florida in Gainesville to begin work on a PhD in counseling psychology. In Gainesville, Carter became immersed in Braille and audio technology devices, and he was hired to teach other blind students how to use technology in an early program while working on his degree. The products called Apple IIe and IIc, the early version of VersaBraille, also Speech Plus, and other products were soon in the technological toolkit that he used daily and taught others. His work ethic has never wavered. One somewhat humorous illustration of that dogged dedication netted him some significant financial assistance during his doctoral program. As he tells it, he applied to Florida's Department of Education, Division of Blind Services, for a sponsorship. When assigned a counselor for that program, he explained that he was seeking financial support for tuition, books, etc., to complete the degree that his potential sponsor called the PH degree. "He asked if I could sign my name," Robert explains, and in fact, he had not ever acquired that skill. The vocational rehabilitation counselor told him to go home and come back when he could sign his name. So for the next 2 weeks, Robert's wife, Vicky, labored tenaciously with him to learn that pen-in-hand pattern that rarely comes naturally to those who are totally blind. At the end of those 2 weeks, he returned to the vocational rehabilitation office, demonstrating his newfound signature skills, and was granted the sponsorship. In 1989, having added a PhD to his bachelor's and master's degrees, Carter was finally ready to find a job. There were three jobs in Texas that interested him, and he was soon hired as a psychologist to work with students at Texas A&M University. That's located in College Station, Texas. 30 years later, he is still there, identified today as a psychologist four. That's the highest designation there is. And after 30 plus years, he still loves his work. Texas A&M Counseling and Psychology Services, which is abbreviated CAPS, C-A-P-S, Counseling and Psychological Services, they serve some 68,000 students. Robert Carter typically sees 5 to 6 students daily, leads workshops, and provides leadership to interns who come for their final year before becoming certified psychologists themselves. In addition to a demanding full-time professional career, he has maintained a strong hold on other passions as well. Since the mid-1980s, Carter, that's Robert Carter, has loved Braille and audio technology, incorporating it into his work and personal activities. He wrote for a magazine called Tactic, T-A-C-T-I-C, and this magazine was the forerunner to Access World, the one that I'm reading to you from right now. He wrote for Tactic in the 1990s and has participated in a variety of email listservs and beta test groups. In 2010, he launched what he's called The Tech Doctor. It's a podcast, a popular podcast, in which he looks at Braille and audio products and interviews players in the access technology arena. With some 3,000 subscribers, the podcast continues to grow, appearing whenever the Tech Doctor himself feels some topic or individual warrants attention. Carter's current technology toolbox includes an iPhone, a MacBook Pro, Apple Watch, AirPods Pro, Braille Sense Polaris, Apple TV, and 3 low-cost Braille displays, and those would be BrailleMe, Orbit 20, and Braillant 14. He just purchased these last year in order to do a comparison evaluation for his Tech Doctor podcast. Although he does not use technology when he's counseling, employing the innate human skills of listening, responding, and understanding, he accesses the department's scheduling and storage system constantly for entering notes and scheduling students. The system, he says, was built specifically for the CAPS staff and is completely accessible. Not always so easily accessed are the batches of intern applications he needs to review each year. But Robert Carter is long accustomed to solving problems and finding workarounds. He says, if something takes longer to do as a blind person, so be it, he says. Music and perseverance, Robert's 50-year commitment to playing guitar, 50 years, is one more example of his unflagging determination. In his early musical explorations, he played guitar to accompany his own singing. About 6 years ago, though, he decided to advance his skills and work on becoming an instrumentalist. Since that time, he has practiced daily. For an hour before work, this is at 4 a.m., and another hour in the evening. And he says the hard work is definitely netting results. In addition to work and music and technology, Robert and his wife make frequent trips to New York to visit their adult son, whose name is Graham. He's a filmmaker who recently features his parents in a project, his mom tending bar, his dad playing guitar. Graham, their son, is, in Robert Carter's words, our finest accomplishment. Well, that touching remark is typical of this man who defines himself as an existential humanist whose eclectic interest embraces music, technology, and politics, and who does not hesitate to express his gratitude. Robert Carter's essential skills and tools for success is the last section of this article. Asked about the tools he thinks most supported his success, Carter mentions Braille and audio technology, but only after enumerating some less tangible and critical character traits. He says, I learned early to advocate for myself, and I've never been afraid to go the extra mile. When the University of Florida was skeptical about a blind person's ability to complete the PhD program, he attended provisionally for one semester, agreeing to continue only if his first semester was successful. The summer before beginning his PhD, he pored over writing manuals, teaching himself to be a clearer, stronger writer, after self-identifying that as an academic area requiring attention. Finally, he says simply, you don't do these things by yourself. This brings home the point he expresses profound gratitude to his family, his teachers, and his colleagues. So it's not difficult to imagine how this soft-spoken, perceptive individual has guided countless students to healing from trauma, abuse, anxiety, and more with his training and skills, work that has nothing to do with his eyesight, but everything to do with insight. So once again, that was a story, a new person for you to meet in this new year. His name is Robert Carter, a psychologist at the Texas A&M University. Information came from Access World Magazine from the American Foundation for the Blind, afb.org. Well, next, in thinking about you for the New Year program, I was thumbing through that Parade magazine that they slip into the Sunday newspaper, you know, the real thin one. I found a whole page of information, again, from Parade magazine. It was dated the December 22nd to 29th, 2019. It's from the Stay Healthy column. It starts out with a headline, Surprise! These six things are bad for your eyes. You're protecting your eyes from the sun, but do you know about these other dangers? This is written by Cheryl Kraft. Although some causes of vision loss can't be prevented, many can be avoided by taking simple precautions, says Dr. Jeffrey Goshi, an ophthalmologist at the Cleveland Clinic Cole Eye Institute. So here's how to protect yourself from activities that can actually endanger your eyes. Eating too much junk food is number one. Here's another reason to live by the advice, everything in moderation. Too much junk food may affect your sight. A 2019 issue of the Annals of Internal Medicine reported that it happened to a teenage boy. The teenager's steady diet of potato chips, French fries, and deli meat deprived his body of some of the essential vitamins and nutrients for eye health. And this was called nutritional optic neuropathy, which is a form of malnutrition. And this including vitamin B12, vitamin A, iron, calcium, magnesium, and copper. At the age of 17, he was declared legally blind. While this boy's vision issue is extreme, good nutrition does matter for all of us. Eating foods high on the glycemic index, like refined starches and sugars, could contribute to the development of age-related macular degeneration, the leading cause of blindness in adults over the age of 60. This is according to a study published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. So the second thing that's bad for your eyes, not cleaning your contact lenses. Dirty contacts can cause severe eye infections, like this one called acanth amoeba or fungal keratitis or other chronic damage. That's why you shouldn't always rub your lenses, even if you use a no-rub solution to clean and disinfect, says Dr. Goshi. This helps clear them of proteins from your tears, dust, pollen, and other particles. I'm not sure I read that sentence right. I'm going to go back and repeat it. It says, that's why you should always rub your contact lenses, even if you use a no-rub solution. You should rub them. Okay, the third point, things that are bad for your eyes, using old mascara. Now, it may look and smell just fine, but using too old mascara puts you at risk for a serious eye infection. Although usually safe when you first purchase it, the tube, which is dark and moist inside, offers bacteria a friendly breeding ground and may put you at risk for an infection at best or temporary or permanent blindness at worst. To keep your eyes safe, experts say to toss your mascara after 3 months and never share with family or friends or use a communal tester when you go to that beauty counter. The fourth thing that's bad for your eyes, not wearing safety glasses. Here's a fact. Almost half of all eye injuries happen at home. That's why it's important for anyone using tools, machinery, landscaping equipment, or anything capable of creating high-velocity projectiles. And, by the way, Happy New Year, that includes opening a champagne bottle or cooking with oil or grease. You should wear protective eyewear to prevent injuries, says Dr. Goshi. Surveys show that only 35% of people wear protective eyewear while doing home repairs or projects. Yet taking this simple step, wearing eye protection, goes a long way. Wearing it can prevent 90% of eye injuries. Here's a tip. Bystanders are at risk too, especially small children or even grandchildren who stand by watching others mow or do the cooking. The next item is ignoring flashes or floaters. Almost everyone has the occasional floater, which is not the sign of a problem, says Dr. Craig C., an ophthalmologist at Cleveland Clinic. Those little specks or transparent threads or cobwebs that drift across the line of vision are usually caused by age-related changes or conditions like diabetes or inflammation at the back of your eye. Though painless, they're not always harmless. A sudden increase in floaters or blurry vision or flashers, usually seen in your peripheral vision, could indicate a retinal tear or detachment, which can threaten your sight and cause permanent vision loss. Retinal tears or detachments are treated with surgery or lasers, but your vision will stand a better chance of recovery if you act fast. And the last thing that they suggest is bad for your eyes, hanging around smokers. You know that smoking or being exposed to secondhand smoke can cause heart disease and lung cancer, but did you know it could harm your eyesight as well? Smokers have 3 to 4 times the risk of developing age-related macular degeneration than non-smokers. 3 to 4 times the risk. Smoking also increases the risk of cataracts. If you smoke 15 or more cigarettes a day, your chance of developing cataracts, which can cloud and impair your vision, is 3 times greater than that of a non-smoker. So the 6 things that are bad for your eyes: don't eat too much junk food, clean your contact lenses, don't use old mascara, do wear safety glasses, and don't ignore the flashes or floaters, and don't hang around smokers. And this information came from Parade magazine of late in December of 2019. So in summary, today's program, you've heard suggestions for New Year's resolutions, including things you should do and things you shouldn't do. You've also met a new person, Robert Carter, PhD. So it's 2020, and it's a big year for people involved in vision care. 2020. To end the program today, I have a quote for you to think about. Cheers to a new year and another chance for us to get it right. This was said by Oprah Winfrey, an American media executive and TV star. So here's for you a little known fact about her. Oprah is afraid of balloons. So who knew? Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week, and I hope you're off to a great start for the new year. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.